Our next speaker is Kim, and I have to tell you, Kim was our first person that accepted the job as speaker, and I was so tickled that she said yes. Kim is from Upper Michigan. She lives in a place called Lake Ann, which is actually near Traverse City, Michigan. Kim has released 125 pounds. She is a food inventory and step sponsor. She's a vegetarian. Her abstinence date is August 29th, 2013. And just welcome Kim.
So my name is Kim, and I am a compulsive eater. Thanks. I am literally overflowing with gratitude right now, and here's the story. This is why this is so amazing. For 30 years, I was a compulsive eater, probably a little bit more. So by the time I found CHOW, I literally had well-worn grooves that I had created in my life for 30 years that made sense, that had all sorts of things tied to it. My behavior, my work, my family, my friends, my job. I mean, compulsive eating was basically who I was. So I have been abstinent for 1,060 days in a row, okay? So that's 3,180 abstinent meals in a row. That's absolutely incredible. When I think about before getting to CHOW, 30 years, do you know how many non-abstinent meals that was? Let me tell you this. Here's the truth of this compulsive eater. There was no meals. I had one long meal that started from the time I was 5, right? Or somewhere in there, maybe 10 or 12, some version of that, all the way until I was 41 when I found CHOW. Okay? That's a long time. I carried an extra 100 pounds for over 20 years of my life, all right? That's heavy duty on this body. Here's also what I've learned about CHOW. My 125 pounds is your 5 pounds, right? Or your 10 pounds or 30. It really doesn't matter. I know the number seems big. I know it does. But the truth is it is nothing compared to what has been going on inside of my head for over 30 years of compulsive eating. This brain, this person that you see in front of you is recovering. And that is a miracle. So you are seeing a true miracle. Here's the other truth about this, is I am looking out at so many beautiful miracles right now. The reason that I can see you, the reason I can see the miracle in you is because we share something that is so beautiful. You are going to hear in what I talk about tonight, if you haven't already in these first few minutes, you are going to hear your story. That's the truth of this. I am able to see you because I have a clear channel now. I'm having clarity because of abstinence. And I have abstinence because I admitted that I am powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. And somewhere in there was the willingness to move forward and do something. So tonight what I'm going to talk about is purpose, the promises, and then purpose again. All right? So I have a definition of what purpose is. As a noun, purpose is the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists, all right? So I'm going to read it one more time, and I just want you to let that settle into you. Purpose is the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. As a verb, to actually to purpose something means to have it as your intention or an objective. All right? So can you feel where this is going? What we're going to talk about is about getting on purpose today. And we're going to feel that because of the promises that have been happening in our lives, those that have been coming into fruition. So from chapter 6 in the big book, which is Into Action, it reads, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and to the people about us. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. So if you're wondering why you're on this journey, our book tells us really clearly it is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and to others. That's it. That's why we're here, people. That's why I'm here, and that's why you're here. And that's why we're in this program of recovery. So I'm going to tell you about my story, and it starts in the summer of 2013. At that point, my weight was creeping close to a number that starts with a 3. My doctor and I had agreed that in an effort to lose weight, I would start coming in once a month to get weighed, just as a little bit of accountability, right? Now, I'm preaching to the choir here, but you know, I'm desperate, right? I've done every diet. I've paid for every plan. I've got every book on my shelf at this point. I've been to every, you know, let's do a book study about God and weight or whatever. I've done it all at this point. So my doctor says, can we just try this? Just come in once a month, even if you're losing 1 or 2 pounds. I say, okay. So by the third month, I'm in there, and this is August. By that third month, I've lost maybe 5 pounds or something in 3 months. And I am done. I am what I, looking back now, a lot of us can say, like, I know right when I kind of hit my bottom, I felt like I was at my bottom right there. I was sobbing on the counter in the doctor's office. And I just said, please, like, I'm begging you. I want surgery. I want anything. Please do anything. Send me away. I cannot do this anymore. I can't. It's terrible. And she said, you know, her head is on the table with me, and she just said, please, just try one more thing and just give it 100%, Kim, right? And you tell that to somebody who has had 30 years of this food hell and weight hell, and I just walked out. I was completely hopeless. I thought, there's nothing more I can do. There's not just one more thing I can try. I am done. I already knew a diet wasn't the answer. And when you get to the point when you know that a diet is not the answer, like, what's left, right? What is left? So I thought that was my bottom until the very next day, and I have a counselor's appointment. And I'm hopeless. I mean, I am in the gutter, right? Last house on the block, I'm done. So I tell this counselor, you know, I don't know. I'm filling out the little form when I'm in the office, and it's a blue form, and you kind of rate your depression. And, you know, I didn't see myself as a depressed person. I had a really good front going on, right? President of this and da-da-da of that, and I'm a manager, and my family's this, and I da-da-da, right? I was looking good, except for the fact of my weight, just except for that fact, okay? So I didn't think I was depressed. And then came the question of all questions that I swear it was the first time I'd ever seen that. And it said, are you having any suicidal thoughts or behaviors? Okay? So I didn't even fill it out. I just handed it right to him. And I said, here's the deal. I don't want to die. I really don't want to die. But I think I'm killing myself with food. All right? I've heard in program, I love this statement, I was digging my grave with my fork. All right, friends, I know I'm among people who get this, right? And this is why you are so special to me, because this is not a conversation I can have with just anybody. So I tell them, I don't want to die, but I think I'm killing myself with food. And now I'm expecting, like, you know, some, well, Kim, it's okay, right? That did not happen. He says these magic words, Kim, I'm glad you're not pulling any punches with yourself, because you are. And he said, this is a hard thing for me to say, but you've been coming here for a year, and the answer is not in these four walls. And here comes the next magic phrase. You are going to need to find a group of people who are like you, who have recovered from this. Right. I was floored. I was like, a group of people like me, like, seriously. And, you know, this is when I'm still, I'm isolating with my food, right? I'm eating within my car. I'm eating before I go to eat. Like, there are not people like me. Like, I know there's people that are heavy out there, but, like, people aren't like me, right? They're just not. One continuous meal that lasts all day long. Like, really. And he says, you're going to need to find this. And, friends, this is when I became as desperate as the dying can be, because I was killing myself. I was on every medication. I'm surprised I didn't have diabetes. And here's the other thing. I had seriously, just 2 years earlier, survived colon cancer at 39 years old. You know, you think maybe that would do it for me. No, that didn't even do it, all right? Near death, I lost 40 pounds in 2 months. I gained it back in a month. Seriously, 40 pounds, right? Like, this girl, I was being taken down left and right. This is what did it. So that day, I left the office, and I went to my car, and I had that, which I've learned now, I just had this just enough willingness that the door was cracked open just enough that God could come in and do his work for the very first time. Very first time. And I don't mean that God hadn't been active in my life, but I had not been letting God in. I love the Bee Gees. I do. I hope this can be edited out. Should I just keep, who's in charge here? Should I just keep going? Is everybody okay? All right, just be here with me, and this is perfect, right? We're just going to know that this is perfect. Because here's the deal. Staying alive is going on in the background. Right? This, God's already got this. He's like, hey, Kim, when you get to this point, I'm going to be talking about staying alive. I'm going to land this whole thing for you here. So here's how this goes, right? So I get to the parking lot, and I think about, so here comes the willingness, the door's open, and I think about this woman from church. And about 6 months earlier, I was telling her, you look amazing. It's not just about your weight loss, but like whatever is going on the inside that's like busting out, I am picking up on that, right? And if you are in recovery and if you are doing CHOW and you are abstinent, you have heard people say this about you. You've got some glow, like really the glow and the beauty from up here seeing you. Our faces look beautiful. Our skin looks great. People, we are beautiful people. We are. We are shining from the inside. So I was picking this up, you know, from this person at church. And the next week, sweet thing, right, she shows up with a little CHOW pamphlet. I was like, oh, really? I'm like, 12-step my food? What even does that mean? Right. I was like, okay, so that lasted about 1 minute in my car, and then it was thrown away as soon as I was throwing away my fast food wrappers, right? Like, I mean, it was just not going to happen for this girl. So that was 6 months ago, and so now here I am. I'm in the parking lot. And I call her, and it's the middle of the day, and she answers her phone, busiest person on earth, right? Busy, huge job. Ring, ring. Hey, Kim. I'm like, hey, 12-step food lady. She's like, what's going on? I said, can you tell me when your next meeting is? Your next diet club meeting? She says, it's Thursday, which is in 2 days. It's Thursday. I said, okay. She said, what are you thinking? And I said, I'm pretty sure I'm dying, and I am drowning from the weight of the weight. Okay, and if you know what that means, it's not the physical weight that was killing me. I'm sure that was, right? The weight of the weight in my head was killing me. All right, so she says, you know, I'll meet you outside. Be there. Be there or be square, basically, is honestly what she said. So be there. Okay. So here is what had happened 1 month before, and now I'm getting into the purpose part. 1 month before all of this, I started to feel a rumble in my body, okay? Now, I was a big girl, and the rumble wasn't from, like, food or anything like that, right? This rumble was something that was trying to be born in my life that I was blocking. I had a friend say to me, hey, do you think we should be, like, going into business together or something like that? Should we be? Are you feeling that? And I was like, actually, I'm feeling something. Like, I don't know what this is. My job was, you know, I was doing fine, but it was super stressful. And so she says, all right, let's just, like, give ourselves a little bit of time to just consider the possibility that we might go into business and do something. We didn't even know what it was. So we spent a month kicking around a couple different ideas, and then we started to come up with something that was really cool and unique and something that doesn't even exist anywhere. And it's a big deal. And here's what happened a few days before that infamous doctor's appointment I was telling you about. We sat down to work on the mission and the vision statement, okay? And I'm ready, man. I can't wait, just so that we knew we were on the same page with each other. And I was sitting there, and I was like, all right, let's get quiet, people. Me and my 275 pounds, let's get quiet. And I could not hear anything. It was like all antennas were shut off from my higher power. I was like, this can't be. This can't be. And I sat there again. I'm like, come on, mission, vision. Like, this is your thing, Kim. Not this time. So the deal was, is that on the way to that doctor's appointment that I just told you about, I called her and I said, look, I am super sorry about this, but my weight is out of control and I've got to find an answer. I have to find the answer. Will you just give me a little bit of time to do this? Because I can feel, and this is what I said to her, I can feel that whatever this is I am supposed to do with my life, it's a big deal, and I don't want to bring my weight into it. I don't want to bring my weight and everything that goes along with it into it. And you know what I mean, because when you start losing weight, somebody said that they term it, I'm releasing my weight and everything that went along with it. So every pound that was in excess in my body has a whole bunch of stuff attached to it. And I could feel that I didn't want that to be coming with me into this next phase of my life, this journey. I did not want that to come in. And so that purpose is actually what drove me to have these honest conversations with my doctor and my counselor. But I didn't know it at the time. I mean, I put all the puzzle pieces together now, and I'm like, oh, it was my purpose that was pulling me towards program, all right? It's not the other way around. We have this plan for our lives. And here, let me read it to you. Let me read your plan to you, people. Right. In the big book, our 12 promises look like this. And here's how it lays out for us. If we do this program, we stay in this program of recovery, it's going to start like this. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. That's number one. Number two says, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Number three says, we will comprehend the word serenity. Number four says, we will know peace. Five, we will see how our experiences would benefit others. Six, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Seven, we will lose interest in selfish things. Eight, self-seeking will slip away. Number nine, our whole attitude and outlook on life will change. 10, fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. 11, we will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. 12, we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. So I ask you this simple question, and you know what's coming. Are these extravagant promises? Right. They're not extravagant promises. You will have to work for them. That is the thing. This is not a simple program. But with this program, in this way, following it the way that we do, you will be guaranteed those promises. They will come for you. They will, right? We are not getting abstinent just to get abstinent, right? We're not hanging out in see-how just to hang out in see-how and have something to do, right? We're not. Please, come on now. This is a lot of work. I came home from my first meeting, okay? I went to my very first face-to-face on Thursday, August 29th of 2013. Actually, I left that meeting after, like, I was crying the entire meeting, right? There I was, on my weight, wrapped up in my jacket, trying to hide from the world, crying, because everything that people were saying in the meeting was true. Every single thing they were saying was true, and it was all me and my story, and I had found some people who were like me, and it was a miracle. I left that meeting, and I went to the grocery store with my little gray book and an empty shopping cart, and here's the deal, too. That grocery store and me, we had a long history together, and it wasn't pretty. It just wasn't. Right? I hardly ever left the parking lot before stuff was in my mouth. And after shopping, I'd go whatever and buy other food. I mean, we just had a long history together. And so there I was putting food that before, had it gone in my cart, I would say, oh, this is all going to spoil. So why am I even putting fresh fruit and vegetables in my cart? But I made it home, and I had my first little scale. I didn't want to spend too much money on a scale, so I got the bouncy one. Because, you know, what if this doesn't work? So I don't want to spend the extra $10 on an actual electronic scale, which I laugh now. But anyway, I've had to use that scale. Like, I take it camping, and if my batteries break or whatever, so it's not a bad thing to have. But anyway, when I pull that baby out, there's, like, beautiful memories for me. But I sat down with my husband that night, and I said, honey, this is a big deal, but I actually think I've found the answer. And I said, you know, I described the program a little bit, and I said, you know, there's going to be a lot of phone calls, and my time is going to be spent, you know, talking to people, some people I don't even know, like, I don't even understand the whole outreach call thing, but three of these a day, people all over the world, I don't know, but just for right now, I'm just going to stick with the people I know. And he said, oh, he was laughing. He said, okay. He's like, well, Kim, there's death or some phone calls. He's like, I think we're going to be okay over here. I think we're going to be all right over here, right? Now, the funny part about that is if it was just like the phone calls every Monday. But at the time, that was the best I had. That's what I grabbed onto. It's a bunch of phone calls. Phone calling to save my life. And you know what? That is the truth. Those phone calls saved my life, right? When I was in the grocery store that first month, I'd be calling people like, help, help, help. And sometimes they'd say, walk out of the store. Just walk out of the store. You can go back another day. It's fine. You've got enough food at home. Like, it's time to walk out. Other times they'd say, I'm going to stay on the phone with you the whole time through your whole shopping trip, right? So anyway, and thank you. Some of you are probably in the room. I mean, literally, so many calls, me in the grocery store. Anyway, so the deal with my purpose is that it was trying to be born in me, and it called me to program. It wasn't the other way around, right? Your purpose for your life is to serve God and to serve each other. And you may insert whatever word for God you want there. Serve your higher power and to serve other people. That so that the work of your higher power can come out from you and touch the world. That is why you are here. That is why you found recovery. It is so that we can do something amazing with our lives. And it doesn't mean that you have to start something brand new and big, right? It just means that you need to listen because that is why you're here. Your purpose is calling you. It is calling you, right? It's not just about being abstinent, and it's not just about being in program, right? If our lives are falling apart in all these other places and ways, it's making it difficult for our purpose to come through. So keep listening to your higher power. Your higher power is talking to you and saying, I've got big plans and dreams for you. Everybody is different. Everybody's plan is different, right? But there are beautiful plans for you. And if you can feel them, if you close your eyes and say, all right, higher power, what is it you want me to be doing here? I can almost guarantee that the answer is serving others. That is why we are here, okay? It doesn't mean we all have to be nurses, right? Serving others looks like a lot of other things. Serving others looks like what we do for each other in program, okay? It looks like answering a phone call. It looks like working our program and making calls. It looks like being of service. It looks like accepting service at a level that you couldn't even imagine would be offered to you at this point in recovery, right here, right? This is being of service. This is serving others. I'm letting God come through me. And the reason that this is possible, again, it's abstinence, it's working a program, but also because I can see my higher power in each one of you. I can feel your higher power, and I can feel this coming through. This is the reality. We are mirrors. If you see something you like in me, it's because of something amazing that is inside of you. And I feel the same way about you. Every time I'm on a phone bridge, if I see you or meet you face to face, if I'm hugging you in the bathroom, if I'm seeing you, there's like five people I just saw on my way here, all of them giving me, you know, you're going to do great, right? Here's my little black tag that says I'm the keynote tonight. Everybody, so supportive. God put all those people in my path today. Just to say, I've got this, Kim, right? Staying alive in the background, right? We're fine. We've got this. This is what it feels like to be on purpose, all right? These promises will come true in your life, but you're going to have to work for them. You are. So I offer you this, it kind of in closing. Let's just remember the how of this program, all right? This is what separates us from the other kids on the block. We start with honesty. Honesty was the hardest thing for me in recovery. I had spent 30 years manipulating everybody and everything in my life, so much so that everybody thought that I was this amazing, wonderful, honest, truthful person, right? Underneath, I was conniving Kim. Literally, I did not realize the length of my dishonesty until I got into program and started getting honest. Super painful, biggest lesson, biggest change in my life for sure. open-mindedness. We have to remain open-minded in this program. There are so many different personalities, right? We just have to know that we're all here, and it's perfect. And our commonality, which is our compulsive eating, our previous, hopefully for most of us, our previous compulsive eating, or the compulsive eating that's still calling us, right, no matter where we go. We're in a city that every compulsion possible is calling to me, right? So we just have to remain open-minded and know that our higher power is here directing us all along the way, if we allow that. And our willingness, the willingness to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to do it for just one more day, right? Almost every day feels like day one to me, literally. I know I'm kind of getting into a groove here. It's been almost 3 years, and guess what? There are many days that I literally just, before my legs swing over the bed, I'm like, well, Kim, are we going to do this again? And I heard somebody say earlier, I've heard this several times, and it's just my story right along with it, but you know what? My worst day in recovery is so much better than any other day that I had before, any other day. And if you ask me right now what the best day of my life is, the very best day of my life, it's today, right? And tomorrow, it's probably going to be tomorrow. So I invite you to just revel in the promises that our literature teaches us, that we remind each other about, right? Don't let those promises go to waste. Fulfill the purpose for which you have come here. Again, the definition of purpose, it is why you were made. Right? You're not just here on accident. You're here to fulfill some beautiful purpose of serving others. Right? So let's just get lined up with that. Let's do the things that we need to do, the things that we know are calling to us. Let's just like get on the move about it. It's going to be a little messy, I can tell you. This isn't pretty, right? All the time. Even right now, in the middle of it, it's tough, right? But I'm in a beautiful fellowship that supports me, right? And I hope that I'm a good example on most days of See How. I hope I'm carrying the message well. And so I just thank you. I thank you for inviting me to be here tonight. And I just thank you all. Every single moment that you have spent in program recovering yourself is being reflected right back to me right now. I'm feeling it all. I'm feeling your journeys. I'm feeling the love that you have. So I appreciate it. I am telling you right now, I'm taking it all with me back to Michigan. So thank you so much.